All right, Matthew chapter number 28, of course, very familiar passage of Scripture as we look at the Great Commission. I want to start reading at verse number 19. And as we see and understand this commission, Jesus Christ has given this commission, oftentimes referred to as the Great Commission. He gave to his church and he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And so as we dissect and break down the Great Commission that Jesus Christ, by the way, he only gave that commission to his church. Amen. Those are we are the only people that he has given that commission to. He did not give it to the JWs. Amen. Or the Mormons or any other liberal group. Undoctrinal group. Okay. Amen. And so here's the commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Our responsibility is take the gospel to a lost world. Amen. To all of the lost world. And let people know the truth of God's holy word and what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, God himself, humbling himself and taking on the form of a man and going to the cross and dying for us, paying for our sin debt, being buried, and thank God rose again, that we serve a risen, living Savior. Amen. And so we are to teach, instruct people of all the world of what Christ has done for us and for them as well. And then to baptize those that are saved in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and then to teach them to observe all things whatsoever he has commanded us. And I believe all things is right here. All the book. Amen. Not just New Testament, certainly not just Old Testament, but all of the Word of God. Amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I got it. All right. So we have a responsibility. Branch Hill Baptist Church, you have a responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You have a responsibility to see those that are saved to get baptized, and a responsibility to disciple, teach, and instruct people in all of the Word of God. And I hope that that doesn't come down on you so heavy tonight, but I'm sure that in your mind you're saying, that is an amazing and a lot of responsibility that God has given to the church. And if you will, Branch Hill Baptist Church. Amen. And you say, well, how are we going to accomplish God's will in carrying out the Great Commission? How can we see this fulfilled as a church body? How can we do what God commanded us to do? And I think we find the preparation for God's church and carrying out the Great Commission found in verse number 18. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now go in that power." And folks, we need to understand something. You and I cannot accomplish the will of God in carrying out this Great Commission in and of ourselves. We can't accomplish it through our ability, our talents, our personality, whatever it might be that you may attribute your how should I say it, ability to contact or connect with people. All right? We must have the power of God upon us. And what we need to realize that, again, this is not through charm personality, and this is, and I don't mean this wrong, but this is not a 7-week course on how to soul win and, okay, now I got it. Amen? We need to understand that this is a spiritual warfare. And Satan is hanging on to people every which way that he can. And we must have the power of God upon us to be able to work through the Spirit of God and the Word of God working through all the blindness and all the wickedness and all that Satan deceives people with, that they might see and understand the need of repenting and turning to Jesus Christ and receiving Him as their Lord and Savior. Now, in thinking about the church and carrying out the Great Commission, and first and foremost, we find the emphasis, the focal point, and Pastor dealt with it earlier, is soul winning. Amen? Being a witness, telling others about Christ. We're to go in all the world and preach the gospel. Now, folks, I had to deal with this in our church years and years ago, and I'm sure from time to time, you know, new people coming in, but there's this mindset that I'm finding, I think, more and more in the United States, certainly more and more in Canada, all right, more and more in the Philippines, that they're a Christian. Look how nice they are. Oh, they're not a Baptist, but they're a Christian. Okay. Now, please, let me qualify something. You don't need to be a Baptist to get saved. Am I safe here? Being a Baptist is not a qualification for going to heaven. Matter of fact, I'm convinced there'll be a lot of Baptists in hell, trusting in their Baptist church membership and their Baptist baptism, instead of trusting in the Savior. Amen? And so we need to be careful in understanding the need to evangelize and tell others about Christ. That should be our focal point as a Christian. Everything else, praise the Lord for the work around the church and everything that needs to be done, and those things need to be done. I went downstairs, praise the Lord for what's been done. Amen? Amen. It's looking good. All right? Thank God for what your faithfulness. Thank God for your attendance on Wednesday night. You're the cream of the crop. Amen? 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 But folks, when we leave tonight and tomorrow, whatever it is, even Sunday, realize, wait a minute, we have a job to do. We've been commissioned be a witness and a testimony. But folks, please understand, there is so much fogginess, doctrinal fogginess in the world today about salvation. It is so sad that so many people, and sad to say, I'm convinced a lot of Christians are embracing ecumenicalism. And that's why I said when he asked about Billy Graham, ecumenical. Since 1952, when I was born. Yeah. Wow. Somebody wants to talk to me after about that. Amen. Anyway. But we have a commission. And the only way that we're going to see it getting accomplished is through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We need that. That is God's preparation for Branch Hill Baptist Church to carry out the Great Commission. Turn, if you would, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And I want us to see God's provision. God's provision. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, the body, and you'll see this in this chapter as well, the body is the church. Amen? Branch Hill Baptist Church. And he says, Branch Hill Baptist Church, you're not one member, but you're many members that make up this church. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Now understand what Paul is seeking to accomplish under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God as he penned these words to the church at Corinth. He's trying to help the church understand what they're supposed to be like, and he's using the physical body to illustrate this truth. And he says the body is not made up of one member, but many members. Aren't you glad tonight you didn't roll in here as one big old eyeball tonight? Amen. Aren't you glad that you have hands and ears and feet and one nose? Amen. Aren't you glad that God has put this body in such a miraculous way that he created it? Amen. Thank the Lord for this physical body. It's unique. And God gave us everything that we need to function in this physical body. Now, I want you to think about this. What would it be like tomorrow morning if you went to get out of bed and all of a sudden these legs say to the body, body, forget it, I quit. I'm tired of carrying around all this weight. I'm tired of you going to all those, oh, you don't have buffets anymore, do you? All right. We don't either. Matter of fact, we don't have any restaurants. Hear me out. But back in the good old days, amen? Golden Corrals. Amen? Amen. All right. And your legs are saying, I rebel, I quit, I'm not going to carry around this weight anymore. I guarantee you, you and I would be in a lot of trouble. Our bodies physically would be greatly hindered because these legs said, I quit. Wait a minute, I know some Christians like that. I know some Christians that, bless God, I used to teach a Sunday school class. I used to sing in the choir. I used to be faithful coming to church. I used to be faithful in giving my tithes and offerings. But I quit. This physical body cannot function effectively, not the way God intended it to, if the legs quit. Amen? And neither can God's body. Amen? What would happen tonight, all of a sudden everybody's left arm stuck out? Now, I know God said we'd be a peculiar people, but maybe that's going a little too far. Amen? And we get ready to leave tonight. I'll be done in about 2 hours. All right? We get ready to leave, and we go on out this door, and everybody's going out, filing out one at a time. And you're saying, boy, I hope nobody sees me. They think we're crazy over here. And they're really going to think we're crazy now. And you get in your car. And the first thing, if you're driving, the first thing you have to do is roll down your window. Amen. And you're driving down the road. Everybody thinks you're taking a left-hand turn and your turn signal doesn't work. Some of you remember those days. Amen. And your wife is having the time of her life because every time you turn a corner, she's slapping you silly. Amen. Bless God, God never intended this arm to stick out and act that way. And yet the arm is saying to the rest of my body, forget about it. I'm not going to cooperate with the rest of the body. I'm going to hang out here and do my own thing. Oh, wow, I know a lot of Christians like that. Oh, I'll get involved as long as it's something I like. But otherwise, you know, just leave me alone. Again, God never intended the arm to be that way. Amen? I want you to see what I believe is probably the greatest verse in all the Bible dealing with you personally as a member of Branch Hill Baptist Church. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 18. But now hath God set the members. How many? Every one of them in the body, in the church, as it has pleased him. Bless God, you ought to get excited about being a member of Branch Hill Baptist Church when you understand the spiritual significance of what God just said here. God, in all of his sovereign wisdom, God that cannot make a mistake, has sought fit to place you right here. Amen? You ought to embrace it and say, Lord, this is your will. You placed me here. There's a reason and purpose for what God has done in placing you here. And it's not to stick out and do your own thing. It's not to quit, amen, is to help the rest of the body to function and operate the way that God intended it to be. So what we're seeing in this provision from God is that every one of you are vital to the cause of Christ. Every single one of you are important. There is nobody insignificant. Doesn't matter how young or old, doesn't matter rich or poor, it doesn't matter educated, it does not matter. None of that is in God's vocabulary. Amen. God is willing and desiring to use every single one of you for His glory. And it pleased Him to place you. Wow. I hope you get excited about that. I really do. Don't take God's church lightly. It's the only thing that God ever ordained and established to carry out His work. Amen. Look, if you would please, in Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. I want us to look at God's product. You ever stop to wonder, Lord, what do you want your church to be like? What would be the model, if you will, for God's church? You know, we just came out of 1 Corinthians. That's not the model. Amen. That's a model what not to be like. Amen. I mean, all 16 chapters of 1 Corinthians, Paul is trying to set this church in order, get it straightened out. With all the problems, all the false doctrine, with all the sin and wickedness and everything else that's going on, Paul is trying to help this church get right. Amen. But I believe one verse in Ephesians chapter 4, I believe that we'll see the model that God desires Branch Hill Baptist Church to be like. Look, if you would, please, in verse number 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, there's a whole lot there, and I just want to break this down tonight, help us understand it. So follow along, if you would, please, because this is, again, your role model that God gives you. He says, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted. And again, understand the church and what God wants the church to be like. Fitly joined together and compacted. Pastor mentioned that earlier. God wants Branch Hill Baptist Church to be fitly joined together and compacted, solid, sturdy, and strong, to be able to stand against all the wiles of the attacks of the devil. Amen. And say, Brother Gay, that's exactly what we want. That's what we're striving to accomplish here. That's our goal and our desire. How can we have that kind of a church? Well, I believe the answer is found in the rest of the verse. Notice it, if you would, please. It says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. How? By that which every joint supplieth. All right? Now, I'm not going to take time to have a stewardship conference tonight. But very simply, you're going to make Branch Hill Baptist Church strong, fitly joined together and compacted, be able to stand against the devil by that which every person or every joint supply. All right? Now, what am I supposed to supply? Well, your time, your talent, your treasure, and I'll add one, your knowledge. Your knowledge of truth. Amen. And apply those blessings that God has given to you. Amen. Think about this tonight. What would happen? We don't have visitation. We haven't had visitation since middle of November. Okay? Yeah, I know that's sad. But we're not even supposed to gather. Right now, they're saying we can have a gathering outside of no more than 10 people. Bless their heart. But think, what would happen? I don't know if you have a weekly Saturday visitation. But what would happen if every member of Branch Hill Baptist Church came next Saturday, this coming Saturday, for visitation or for work, you know, doing work downstairs or whatever, mowing the lawns. And every single member showed up. And some are ready to go out on visitation. Some are saying, Pastor, what can I do? You know, I want to volunteer. I want to help. I guarantee you two things would happen. Number one, in this order, you'd have to call 911 because our pastor just fainted. I mean, he just fell over. Shock. Not stroke. Shock. Amen. Revive our pastor again. Amen. But number two, God would honor your efforts. I'm completely convinced of that. God will honor a church that honors God. Amen. And you put the things of God as your priority. His church. Amen. And serving the Lord through His church, where it pleased God to place you. And see the work of God thrive for His glory. And so he says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Again, notice every, there's nobody left out here. Amen? You want what God desires, it's going to take everybody to do it. Just like this physical body. I don't know the anatomy that well. Forgive my ignorance, especially you're a doctor, nurse, or you're just smart, all right? But I don't know where my spleen is. Is it somewhere in here? I don't know. I think it is, all right? I don't know what my spleen does. I have no idea. I've never looked it up. I have no idea how important it is. All right? But I do know this. I need it. How do I know that? Because God put it wherever it is. Amen? And God put it there. There's a reason. There's a purpose for it. And it has a function to carry out. And God is saying the same thing about every one of you. You are vital. You are important to the cause of Christ right here in Branch Hill Baptist Church. Notice the verse again. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working. Now there's a word a lot of people just, I don't know, they break out in hives or, you know, get reaction, nervous reactions. I don't know. Work. Amen. Some people just don't know what to do with that word. Amen. I think I got a headache coming on. You know, I all of a sudden I just don't feel good. I hope that's not you. Amen. Well, let me give you my definition of effectual working. Take off your coat, roll up your sleeves, jump on in, and get busy. Amen. You know, it takes work to supply for your home. Amen. I hope that doesn't come as a surprise. Well, it may with all these give monies away, you know. Wow. But it takes money. You work hard to provide for your family. You work hard to pay the bills. Amen. You work hard to put food on the table. You work hard to take care of things. Shouldn't we have that same attitude and spirit toward God's house? Amen. It says, according to the effectual working. And then it says, in the measure of every part. Do you notice there twice in this one short verse, understanding what God wants His church to be like, He emphasizes twice the need for every single person to be involved? He says every joint. Now He says in the measure of every part. God's repeating this. That's how important it is to Him. That everybody is involved. Now He says in the measure of every part. Let's do this. I still got another hour or so, if the pastor will let me. All right. And I know you're getting hungry. You have to, some of you are starting to drool, I think. I don't know. But let me do this. I'm going to bake a cake. I don't need Betty. We can do it without Betty. Amen? Betty Crocker? Amen. We can do it. I can do this. Listen, you sit back. I'll put the apron on. I'll put the hat on. I'll make the cake. All right. And I got a big old pan to put it in. I know it takes flour. Amen. I'm doing pretty good so far, right? So I throw some flour in there. It takes butter, right? I like butter. Throw a lot. Oh, I like a lot of butter. Amen. Eggs. Amen. We're going to bake a cake, right? So we ought to put a baker's dozen, 13 eggs in there without the shells. Amen. You put that in there. It takes salt. Amen. I like salt, but you know what? You can't have salt without having pepper. Amen. You got to have that, right? And you're going to say, Brother Getty, I'm going to back off. No, thank you. I'll pass on that cake. All right, well, let's get up, Betty. You know what you find with Betty? There's a measurement for everything. Amen. Ladies, forgive me, but maybe a half a cup, a cup of flour? Somebody nod your head and go, help me. No, two cups? Two cups, amen. Thank you, Karen. We've never had this conversation before. two eggs? Four, two eggs, okay? All right, over easy. A dash of salt and no pepper. Maybe a half a cup of butter. Am I doing okay? Good, good, all right. And you put it in the oven, buon appetit, take it out, let's eat and enjoy. Let's make that application in the measure of every part. Every single one of you have a measure that God has given to provide to make this church a sweet-smelling savor. Amen. To honor the Lord in your service with a heart sold out to God. He goes on, he says, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Say, maketh increase of the body. You're talking about numbers. You're talking about people being saved and baptized and added to the church. No, I'm not. And I don't believe that's what the Bible is teaching here. I believe that's a byproduct of what will take place when God's church is doing what it ought to be doing. But notice it says, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. When you have every single member of this church actively involved, fitly joined together and compacted, working together for the cause of Christ, you are edifying one another. And by the way, when that takes place, I'll guarantee you, absolutely guarantee you there'll always be something missing. You know what it is? It's called strife, envy, jealousy. These petty human problems that we allow to creep into God's churches and destroy them. You know, the average independent Baptist church is not being destroyed from without, from within. Fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual work in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. A love for one another. Amen. A cooperative effort. We are serving God. Amen. We've seen God's product. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at God's purpose. What is it all about? Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse number 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And so, from verse number 17 through the rest of the chapter, verse 23, Paul is listing different prayer requests for this church. And I believe that Paul was burdened about the need for this church and prayer requests. I believe that it would be vital for us to take heed to those same prayer requests for us tonight as well. So look, if you would please, at verse number 17, and we see the first prayer request that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him. Now, the first prayer request, Paul is praying for this church at Ephesus, and let's again make the application for Branch Hill Baptist Church, that God would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What he's praying for simply is that for spiritual growth. Amen. For spiritual growth. God does not want to see people that are saved and they never grow like they ought to. When we were in the Philippines, we were there 8.5 years in Cebu City, and we started Faith Baptist Church and Christian School. And Brother Vince had, I think, 5 children, and their youngest child, Joshua was born with a birth defect, and Joshua never developed properly. So when we left, Joshua was 12 years old. I think he was probably about so tall. Just extremely difficult situation. Mentally, emotionally, physically. 8 years later, I was able to go back. Had a wonderful reunion with the church members. And I got to see people I haven't seen for 8 years. Several of those we led to the Lord and discipled them. They were very much a part of the church body. And for example, here was one young lady. Her name, her birth given name was Happy. H-A-P-P-Y, Happy. And the whole time that I pastored that girl, I never once seen one single smile on her face. Not one. All right? And so here she is 8 years later, and she's over the corner there with some other girls, and she is just smiling, laughing, having a good old time. I went up to her. I said, Happy, what happened to you? And she says, I don't know what was wrong with me back then, all right? But praise the Lord, she arrived, amen? And then I seen Joshua. And I don't think Joshua grew maybe a couple inches. Never developed properly. You know, it broke my heart. Realize he's going to be that way the rest of his life. And then it hit me. Wonder how God feels about me. Maybe you. You've been saved. I've been saved for 40 some years. Are we grown? What does God see? Never mind what the facade. What does God see? What's real? You know, it's sad when you have people been saved for 30, 40 years and they've never developed. They've never grown. And you know, the sad thing is, Joshua had no control of his situation at all. None. But every one of us do. Every one of us. First prayer request Paul lists for spiritual growth. He goes on in verse number 18. He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. That your eyes would be open, understanding what God's will is. You know, I listen, probably every single one of us have wrestled with understanding the will of God. What is God's will for my life? Amen. What kind of job does God want me to have? What kind of career? What kind of schooling? Where does God want me to live? Who does God want me to marry? And on and on and on. And trying to understand the will of God. You know, I think we really get caught up with it all and we just lose sight of the simplicity of the Lord. The Bible says this, God is not the author of confusion. So why am I confused? Amen? It doesn't come from God. Amen? It does not come from God. When we came back from the Philippines, and we literally brought my wife home in a wheelchair, and trying to get her taken care of, we were in St. Pete, Florida, thank you, Lord, for 2 years before going up to Canada, trying to get her health straightened out and trying to figure out where we're going. A pastor told me something today I didn't know. There was another field. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I know me well enough to know that I'm just going to go through the first open door. And that may not be your will. So I said this and I prayed this. And by the way, this is a good prayer for you when you're asking God's will. Lord, if this is not your will and I don't have enough common sense or spiritual leadership to understand it, Lord, please close the door. Otherwise, I know me, I'd probably just go through it. Close the door. And the first place that we thought we were going to go or considered was working with American Indians. If you haven't noticed, my wife is American Indian. But she never lived on the reservation. She didn't understand Indian culture at all. But I prayed and I said, Lord, two things I asked for. God, would you give us a place, minister, where I don't have to wrestle the rest of my life trying to learn a foreign language? I'm still trying to learn English. And second thing, Lord, if you will help us, give us a place where we can get the medical care for my wife. That's what I asked for. And when I don't know, I look at things from a practical point of view, and I said, well, the most practical thing, Lord, go work with American Indians. We should have an open door, amen? I went to 35 different reservations, and every single one, God said, no, no, no. Okay. Door's closed. Then I thought we were going to go to Australia. We even called up a missionary in Australia. At that time, Australia and New Zealand were some of the most difficult places to get in. They were allowing churches to have one sponsorship, one, for the history of the church. Okay? Well, I'm calling missionaries. I never knew them. They didn't know me. And every one of them were either saving up their one sponsorship for someone they know, or they had already used it. And I've probably called 5, 6 missionaries. And then I called one, I'm not going to tell you where, just maybe, all right. But I called one in Australia and said, no problem, sure, do the paperwork, send it on in to me, and we'll file it and everything. It should be approved in about 8 months. I'm getting prayer cards printed up. I'm going to church. We're going to Australia. Eh? Or I guess they say eh. I don't know. In Canada, you do. All right. And so time's going by. I'm communicating with them. Oh, yeah, you got to wait, got to wait, got to wait. And so after 8 months, I get a hold of them and says, oh, you've been turned down. I said, well, what do we do now? He said, nothing. I said, well, how about if we come as a family on a touring visa and we just continue renew and renew and renew the touring visa while we're working on getting approved? He said, no, that's my one sponsorship. There's the second door closed. And then I found out maybe about 3 years later, oh, that guy is no longer on the field. And chances are, knowing the character of that person, he probably never even did your paperwork. So if you allow me to, God used that man to close the door. You know what you ought to say? Praise the Lord. Because I'm just liable to go through it. And God closed the door. Pastor said we were going to go to Hawaii. Lou Baldwin graduated with me, and I graduated with him. In Bible school at our home church in Fairfax, Virginia, we had 21 of us start, 2 of us graduated the graduation year. I told Lou he could be the valedictorian, I'd be the salutatorian. But I also told him he comes in second to last. But Lou encouraged me to go down through the islands. And I went down to Trinidad, as far down as Trinidad, Tobago, St. Thomas, St. Croix, Martinique, Puerto Rico, several of those islands. And in Puerto Rico, I met a pastor there, or a missionary pastor, Johnny Daniels. And Johnny wanted me to come on board with him and just go from one island to another island, maybe spend a month on an island, work with the nationals, not over them, alongside of them, and just help them. And, you know, I would have loved it, absolutely would have loved it. And I come back home, and God made it just as clear as can be. No. First door closed? Okay. Second door closed? All right. Third door closed, I'm going, God, what are you doing? And at this time, I'm getting antsy. I want to go. And then the Lord laid on my heart to go to Canada, the Vancouver area. I don't know if anybody's from Canada, but Canada was not on my list at all. Not even a consideration, not in the least bit. All right? I grew up in Mason City, Iowa. I never want to see another winter in my life. All right? And when I think of Canada, I think of cold winters, you know, snow, you know, all that. And so anyway, I flew from Tampa, Florida to Seattle, Washington. I'm renting a car. I'm driving on up to Canada. Before, about a half hour before I got to the border, God flooded my soul with perfect peace. By the way, that's one of the things you ought to definitely look for. Perfect peace from God. Not from self, from God. This is where I want you. And I had no idea why. And I drive into Metro. Anybody been to Vancouver? Anybody? One, two, three. Yeah, of course you have. Amen. It's Asia. Don't look at me weird. It's Asia. We have about 3 million people in Metro Vancouver. The two largest ethnic population are Chinese and East Indian, with about 750,000 of each. And about 100,000 Filipinos. And I am excited. Lord, you closed all these doors so that you'd put me where you want me. Amen. It wouldn't have been my choice. And I thank God. Folks, you can't go wrong if you're in God's will. Amen. You can't go wrong. But you sure can go wrong when it's your will. Amen. So he goes, he says in verse number 18, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know his hope of his calling, to know his will. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance? Notice this, in the saints. That's you and I, the believer in Christ. He said, Christian, I want you to know of all the riches, all the glory, all the inheritance that I have for you. Amen. The Lord tells us that we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Do you have any idea what that means? Let me help you. My wife and I are going to be married 50 years. We have a joint account at the bank. You all understand what a joint account? Amen. Simply means I put in and she takes out. That is a joint account. Amen. And bless God, Jesus Christ deposited in full at the blood bank of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. And we have been withdrawing ever since. And I'll guarantee you there'll never, never, never be insufficient funds. Amen. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful salvation we have in Christ Jesus. He said, I want you to know of all the riches, all the glory, all the inheritance that I have for you, church. Now, I don't think he's saying in the context, you got to wait till you get to heaven. I'm not preaching prosperity Christianity, but I am preaching that our Heavenly Father is more than able to take care of us. Amen. He is able. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to who? To us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the to Branch Hill Baptist Church. Now, folks, remember Matthew chapter number 28, the preparation for carrying out the Great Commission? All power Jesus Christ has given unto me in heaven and in earth. Question, what did he do with all power in heaven and earth? According to verse number 19, Ephesians chapter 1, did he not appropriate it to you and I? Did he not make it available, all power in heaven and earth, to you and I? Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? And verse number 20, which is the church. Amen. All power in heaven and earth is available to God's church, God's people, in carrying out his great commission. Now look back at verse number 22 and 23. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the church. Amen. The fullness of him, the fullness of Jesus that filleth all in all. Do you understand what he just said? Branch Hill Baptist Church, you are the fullness of Jesus Christ that filleth all in all. Say, Brother Getty, can you break that down a little bit better? Can you help me understand what is he saying? All right, let's try this. Branch Hill Baptist Church, you are the solutions to the problems of your community. You have any problems? You got drug problems here? Alcohol problems? Broken homes? Families messed up? You got problems here? Listen, if you don't have problems, let me know. Karen and I will move to Utopia. But you know what? You have problems here just like everywhere else. And the answer is not the government. Never has been, never will be. The answer is not more stimulus. The answer is, well, we just can take our mask off. Woo! We can gather together. No, no. Listen. The answer to the problems of your community is you. Christ living in you. The fullness of him. That's what you are to be. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Wow. Can you get a hold of that tonight? Can you understand what God has in store for you? What God desires? And what God is capable of accomplishing in and through. Your community is full and full of problems. And God said, I saved you. And it pleased me to place you right here. That you might minister God's love, God's truth, this world around you. Right here where you live. Amen. What a privilege. What an honor it is to be saved. Amen. What an honor it is to serve God. God bless you. Pastor, I'll turn things over to you.